Turn with me in your Bibles to John, or 1 John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. You should have the outline on the church's Facebook page. It was posted last night. It was also sent out via email to those we have email addresses for. And while you are turning there, I want to go back to the announcements for just a moment, because I failed to announce one thing concerning our reopening on May 17th. Just so you know, we will also be coming to you Facebook Live during that service, or it'll be a video that is posted to our Facebook page after the service for those who are going to stay home. And of course, we do suggest those in high-risk categories to remain at home and just watch our service or listen to the audio once it's posted to our website. And so I wanted to make that clear that we will still be streaming or recording the service for those who cannot attend. I think that is something that the church is able to do in order to minister to you during this time. 1 John 4, 1 through 6, testing the spirits. I believe God wants me to address this topic because this is the second sermon I will do out of 1 John concerning false teachers. You may not recall, but I did a sermon out of 1 John chapter 2 several weeks ago about false teachers, false professions of faith. This has been an issue that we have seen with the nation of Israel through the time of the church in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Remember what God tells the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, he says this: if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Even if what the prophet says comes true, but he leads you away from the one true God, you are not to listen to that prophet. The application is found for the New Testament church. There are false teachers who want to attempt to lead people astray or away from the one true God. We can read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you, Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, pay attention, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. As for you, as he's writing this to Timothy, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I agree with the Apostle John. I agree with the Apostle Paul. There is a danger of false teachers in this world and in the church. It is James Montgomery Boyce who says about this passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 4 that behind every prophet or teacher stands a spirit, either the spirit of God or the demonic spirit of the Antichrist or of Antichrist. So John says to test the spirits. Well, what does that mean? Thanks, preacher. Another test. It's all you've been talking about out of 1 John. But this is a very important test. How can you know that you are of the truth? How can you discern truth from error? Why is that important? How do you know that what you believe is right and that you're not being led astray? These are very important questions for you to answer. And I pray that John enables us to do just that, and God, by the power of his Holy Spirit this day, as the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. Let us read 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May God bless the reading of his truth, his holy word. Discerning truth from error, if you're following your outline, the first question I have there is, why is discernment important? Now, I want to go back to the end of chapter 3, where John tells us, and this is the first time he uses the name of to the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. And if you recall, I referred to Romans 8:16, which says that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. That is where we ended last week, and then all of a sudden, well, really not all of a sudden, in the very next verse, John, in a term of endearment, says, beloved, and he's talking to the church. He's talking to the believers in the churches of Asia Minor. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. In verse 1, John is telling us that we are to be discerning. We're to have spiritual discernment. It is John MacArthur who says, in its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with the ability to think biblically. So spiritual discernment is the ability to think biblically. So John says, do not believe every spirit. Danny Aiken, true faith examines its object before reposing or placing confidence in it. But why? Why are we not to believe every spirit? Well, first of all, there are false spirits, as he has just said. Not every spirit in the world, in the church, is of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, you may not recall my discussion in chapter 2, verse 18, that sermon that says, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. And I explained to you the nuance or the difference between the Antichrist with a capital A and Antichrist with a little a. The capital A Antichrist is yet to come, but that spirit of the capital A Antichrist can be found in the little a Antichrist that are already in the world. And these are the false teachers. They have the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the spirit of opposition to God and to Jesus Christ. Notice John says there in chapter 2, verse 18, many Antichrists have come, many false teachers have come. Now, these false teachers that were in the church of Asia Minor, they most likely were called Gnostics. And I want to explain that to you for just a brief moment. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word for knowledge. And what they believed is that they could gain knowledge of the transcendence or of God by a very interior and by way of interior intuitive means. There was a secret knowledge that could be gained based on personal religious experience. They held that the spiritual, which was the mind, was good, but that matter or the physical body was evil, and that it didn't really matter what you did with the physical body. All that was important was the spiritual. So this philosophical dualism, as John MacArthur says, caused them to be indifferent to moral values and ethical behavior. Remember, I've been talking to you about the new morality that they were teaching. They were downplaying the issue of sin. That's why John is saying, if any of you say that you're without sin, you're a liar. You're not of the truth. You are in error. And so there was a new morality, a new spirituality being taught in the church. The Gnostics were coming in, and they were most likely departing and taking people with them. And so John is saying that there are false spirits. Behind every teacher, there is a spirit. But let's go back to this why of the of discernment, why it is important, because I think there's a second part. And once again, I direct you to the outline. It has to do with fellowship and joy. You see, why discernment is important is that if you want to have fellowship with God, then you must be of the truth. We learned that at the end of chapter 3. You must be of the truth. And to be of the truth and have fellowship with God, I hope you're following my line of thought here, leads to your joy. Now, going back to 1 John, or going back to the first chapter of 1 John, in verses 3 and 4, John says this, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." And when I preached on that passage of Scripture, I said that some translations use "your" there, some use "our." Well, I'm combining the two here, and what I am communicating is this. Our joy is tied to our fellowship with God, and to have fellowship with God, we must be of the truth. Matter of fact, we must trust in the truth, and that is Jesus Christ himself. Now, John is recalling the teaching of Jesus from John 15:11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Well, what must be in you for your joy to be full? It must be the truth of God, the words of Christ, the word of God. It must dwell richly within you. I believe this quote can be attributed to Martin Lloyd Jones. Joy is something very deep and profound, something that affects the whole and entire personality. In other words, it comes to this. There is only one thing that can give true joy, and that is contemplation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He satisfies my mind. He satisfies my emotions. He satisfies my every desire. He and his great salvation include the whole personality and nothing less. And in him I am complete. Joy, in other words, is the response and the reaction of the soul to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be of the truth and have fellowship with God means that you must have the knowledge of God, of who he is, knowledge of his revelation. Now, we could see throughout Scripture this battle between what is truth and what is a lie, or what is true and what is error. And this is essential for us. We must be discerning between the two, but we can see the struggle throughout Scripture. We could begin in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were presented with truth, the Word of God. But what did they do with the Word of God? They rejected it, and they bought into the deception and the lie, the falsehood of the serpent. As the children of Israel are being led out of Egypt, what is occurring here is a battle between the one true God and the God of the Egyptians, Ra, who is a false god. That's why we read in Exodus 15:11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? The battle of truth and falsehood, or truth and a lie, can be seen with the kings of Israel and Judah. You see these phrases often in the description of those kings, like Zedekiah, for example. It says in 2 Chronicles 36:12, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. But we can go to 2 Kings 12:2, and we learn of Jehoash or Joash. Both of those pronunciations or spellings are found in Scripture. And Jehoash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all his days, because the priest instructed him. There was someone instructing him in the truth, the word of God, so that he might rule appropriately in the sight of God, rule in truth. False shepherds are referenced in Jeremiah chapter 2. Where Jeremiah says, the priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. So here we have the false shepherds, and here is God through Jeremiah saying, and I will give you shepherds in chapter 3 after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding. The importance of discerning truth from error. We could go to the New Testament, and how does the description of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh, how is he described in the 14th verse of John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we see Jesus led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan. And what occurs there is a battle between truth and a lie. How does Jesus respond to Satan and his attempt to deceive him? Jesus responds with the Word of God. Then we see Jesus begin to confront the Pharisees and their legalistic teachings, and like a fine surgeon reveals their falsehoods by giving and presenting the truth. I referred to this around Easter. We see Jesus before Pilate, truth versus a lie, truth versus error. And Jesus says, I have come to testify of the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? I hope you are picking up what I'm laying down this morning. It is very important to be able to discern truth from error. Why? Because there are false spirits, and behind every teacher and preacher, there is a spirit. Is that spirit false, or is that spirit of God? And also, this is crucial for your joy. Being of the truth means you have fellowship with God, and therefore his word is in you, and you can live in this world, even though it is evil, you can live with joy. During the midst of the coronavirus, you can live a life of joy. I hope you're hearing me. Joy comes from the Lord. Now, if we ask the question, why is discernment important? I am sure you're already asking yourself, how can you discern truth from error? Previously in chapter 2, John referred to some events that occur with the false teachers and the false teachers and the false professions of faith, and he says you will see that they will desert the church. They will depart from the church. They will deny Jesus Christ. But here in this passage of Scripture, note that he only refers to the doctrinal test of the identity of Jesus Christ. By this, verse 2, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. How do you know the difference between the Spirit of God and false spirits? It always comes back to the identity of Jesus Christ. A false spirit will want to detract from who he is as he has revealed himself to us in Scripture. They want to take something away from him. The Gnostics' big issue was is that they taught that Jesus had not come in the flesh. And I quote James Montgomery Boyce, they believed that the divine Christ conceived as an emanation from the highest and superior God came upon this man Jesus at the time of his baptism and left him before his crucifixion. They are saying that he did not become flesh. The word did not become flesh. That's why John says in 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. It is John Calvin, the great reformer, who says, we now see that Christ is denied whenever the things that belong to him are taken from him. And as Christ is the end of the law and the gospel and has within himself all the treasures of wisdom and understanding, so also he is the mark at which all heretics aim and direct their arrows. Therefore, the apostle has good reason to make those who fight against Christ the leading liars, since the full truth is exhibited to us in him. To deny the Son as revealed to us in the Word of God is to deny the Father. Whoever confesses the Son as he is revealed in Scripture has also the Father, is of the truth, has fellowship with God, is saved, redeemed, whatever phrase you want to say, born again. It is in the second chapter of 1 John, verse 23, it says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So we see that there are spirits behind teachers and preachers that want to lead people astray, as I read to you in Deuteronomy chapter 13. In Deuteronomy 18, it says that if a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not, if what the prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not come true, then it is not a message from the Lord. False teachers speak from the viewpoint of the world. False teachers make much of themselves and not much of Christ. The entire ministry, if it is a preacher, is about the personality of the preacher, not about the majesty of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:17 tells us this, they make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you make much of them. True teachers proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified and resurrected, which is essential for you to be saved, that you repent and believe in him as he has revealed himself. We want to be the Apostle Paul and preach Christ crucified. My job as a minister and any Sunday school teacher or small group teacher or youth leader, listen to me carefully. Our only job is to point people to Christ. We are to make much of him. We are to magnify him. We are to sing to the top of our lungs. All we have is Christ. As Jerry and Emma did this morning. So, Christian, what is your viewpoint of Scripture? What is your viewpoint of Jesus? I'm talking about Jesus revealed in Scripture. I'm not talking about the Jesus that is part of a documentary by CNN or the History Channel. And if you've bought into that garbage over the Word of God, then you lack spiritual discernment. But we have to ask ourselves, how do we overcome these false spirits? How do we actually do it, Pastor? Well, we must believe in the doctrine as it's taught in the Word of God, but also look at verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we come back, just as we ended chapter 3, Paul brings it back nearing the end of this passage, and he says, listen, you have the Holy Spirit. That's how you overcome the false teachers. Little children, term of endearment, let me tell you, you have the Spirit of truth residing within you that will give you discernment. You have already overcome the false philosophies and the worldly philosophies that are taught. You have believed in the gospel. Instead of engaging in worldly teachings that emphasize the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, as we learned in chapter 2. Instead of buying into that, you bought into the gospel, the message of truth. You accepted that message. You saw the truth of it. And that is because the Holy Spirit is guiding you into all truth. But there are those in the world and in the church who struggle in this discernment, perhaps because they lack the Holy Spirit. But we can read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It talks about some departing from the faith. Now the Spirit, which is what I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits. There's that word spirits again. And teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. I'm just going to stop there. Do you see where the Bible is going? What we are being told? There are many who will fall away, who will go after false spirits, who will depart from the truth, who will buy into worldly teachings instead of the teachings of God. We could go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It talks about godlessness in the last days. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. My question is that a description of American Christianity today, is an appearance of godliness? But there is no inner change. There is no spirit of truth residing within. There has not been a change or a transformation. This appearance of godliness is what the Pharisees were concerned about. It was outward performance, outward appearances, not a change within. But I am saying to you, when you come to a knowledge of the truth of who Jesus Christ is and you repent and believe in him, there will be a transformation. This is how you are saved, by coming to a knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it talks about how people keep running to false teachers, to false spirits over and over again, and they've never come to a knowledge of the truth. They're always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. What Paul is referring to here is that people are running from teacher to teacher, and what is behind those teachers is a false spirit. Now, I hope I'm coming at this with the right motivation, the right heart this morning. I am not saying, and I don't want anybody to take this out of context, I am not saying that Gum Springs Baptist Church is the only one who doesn't have a false teacher, that there is a spirit of truth here. There is an emphasis upon the Word of God. There are many good churches that are proclaiming Christ and Him crucified. So don't take this out of context. But I do want to address those who attend church this morning. Men and women who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have men and women who are simply going from church to church with a consumerism mentality, seeking what the church can do for them, what the pastor can do for them, instead of focusing upon the truth and the worship of God. They have never, perhaps some of them have never come to a knowledge of the truth. There are some who decide upon what church they're going to attend simply based upon whether the music fits their personal preference, whether there's a singles program or a youth ministry or a children's ministry that can entertain their children, whether or not they can have a Starbucks in the sanctuary, whether or not it's got a bookstore that they can go into, and none of that is wrong. Do not take this as me coming at larger churches that have some of these resources. That is not my intention. My intention is to get you to ask the question, well, what about truth? It can be a church that has everything that you absolutely could want in ministry programs, and yet there not be an emphasis upon truth. What about the gospel? Those appear to be secondary questions. And I am saying to you this morning that John and the Bible is telling you these are primary questions. These are of the utmost importance. And you must be like the Bereans who can search the scripture to see whether or not the teacher slash preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the youth leader is teaching the truth. If you don't know the Word of God, you will not know if a teacher is telling you the truth about the revelation of God. John MacArthur, once again, those truly born again have been given not only a spiritual insight into the truth, but a love for it as well, and a discernment that protects them from apostasy. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to love the truth. You will see the falsehood of the worldliness or worldly teachings. Let me ask you, do you love the truth? For you see, the Holy Spirit, yes, He dwells within us. Yes, He guides us into all truth. Go and read John 16. He is the Spirit of truth. But do you want to know what He utilizes in order to magnify Christ and to implant the truth in you? It is the Word of God, the apostolic teachings that we have right here. The Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. Look at what John says. Verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Okay. Let me just tell you what might be a red flag when you're talking about Christian teachers. If the world supports them, then that ought to be a red flag. Because you see, the spirit of the world stands in opposition to the truth of God. But oftentimes we accumulate teachers in the church that teach us worldliness. And I'm not saying that every crowd that gathers is an effect of a pastor teaching worldliness, especially the larger crowds. But certainly, as the Bible has said and I have read to you this morning, they will accumulate teachers that tickle their ears, that tell them what they want to hear, that make much of them, not teaching that we are depraved and sinful human beings who are in need of a Savior. But then he goes to verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, I'm talking about here, and let me make this clear, more than just professional sermon hearers. If you are listening to the truth, holding on to the truth of Scripture, applying the truth of Scripture, then you know the Spirit of God is residing within you and not the spirit of error. This gives you assurance of your salvation, which is what the purpose of all of these tests. You know you're redeemed if you love the truth of God, if you love His Word. That's how the Holy Spirit is going to sanctify you, make you into the image of Christ, help you be discerning between truth and error. Because listen to me, none of us are above deception. We need God to help us not be deceived, because we are bombarded by falsehoods every day. We see it in our media. We see it, in the shows that we watch. The lie is always there and present, and it is so tempting to follow after the lie. To stand in the truth, we cannot do it on our own. We must have the Spirit of God within us. The natural man cannot understand these things, the Apostle Paul says. Only the spiritual. Boyce, James Montgomery Boyce, once again, a Presbyterian minister, on John's teaching, If this were a mere individual talking, the claim would be presumptuous. But it is not. This is one of the apostles citing the collective testimony of all the apostles and making that testimony the measure of truth and sound doctrine. I have to say this as we're coming to a close. If a church does not emphasize doctrine, if the teaching of the church does not emphasize doctrine, that is simply the teaching of the apostles, the doctrine of Scripture, of what we find in Scripture, if that is not an emphasis, then you need to have a red flag go up and you need to be alert to danger. Before you attend a church or join a church, you need to know its statement of faith, what that church believes. And in this instance, John is saying what that church believes about Jesus Christ. Because just because someone says they believe in Jesus doesn't mean that they are believing in Jesus or teaching a gospel as it has been revealed in Scripture. Are you following me? There can be false gospels. There can be false images of who Jesus is. And you need to have a church that is dedicated in sincerity, even though they are going to fail many times, but are dedicated with all sincerity to give you the Word of God. That is what you need the most. It is Boyce, once again, who says, the tragedy of our time is that we do not have enough men and women to proclaim and defend that doctrine. So the truth is not clearly defined, and the way is not clearly illuminated. The doctrine of the apostles, the only true doctrine of the church, illuminates it. And the incarnation of God's Christ defines and gives a focal point to that doctrine. It is for us to determine whether or not we believe that doctrine, and if we do, to respond to it. Now, I want you to listen to this. There are not three ways, according to the apostle. There are not four or five or more. There are only two ways, the way of truth and the way of error, the way of Christ and the way of Antichrist. And as we've taught already, the way of being a child of God or a child of Satan. We are called to serve Christ, and those who are truly of God will do so. I pray. My prayer is that at Gum Springs Baptist Church and in churches throughout this land, that there will be men and women, pastors, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, children's directors that are willing to stand in the truth, regardless of what the world says, as the world will attack and come upon them, that they will stand in sound doctrine. And if you are a teacher today, you'll be held to a higher standard, according to James, when you meet God face to face on how you have cared for the souls that you have taught. I pray that I never make much of myself, but that I always make much of Christ, being like John the Baptist, who became less so that he could become more. I hope that I always point you to the greatness of Jesus, to who he is, that I share the gospel with you, that I display and with my words convey the beauty of Christ. So I say all of this today not to be mean-spirited or not to be harsh. I speak these things in love. I want you to have fellowship with God so that you may have joy not only in this life, but the next. So that throughout all of eternity, you may have the fullness of joy. And that you can have fullness of joy in this life by knowing Jesus Christ and having his truth implanted in you. I ask you today, do you love Jesus? Do you love the truth? And I beg of you today, listen to me, believer. If you're being led astray by falsehood, today is the day to return and trust in him. Unbeliever, I say these things to you so that you might know the truth and come to a knowledge of the truth and to be saved. My goal as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ is to preach the word in season and out of season to everyone so that they may have the opportunity to respond by the grace of God. So I pray that the grace of God works in you today by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he will guide you into all truth. I hope you see the importance of having spiritual discernment, the importance of knowing the truth of knowing truth from error. Oh, I pray that God has been glorified and Jesus has been magnified this morning. May he be big to you today and that you see your need of him. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, as I bring this message to a close, I'm going to trust, as your truth has gone forth, that it will not return void. Oh, Lord, give us spiritual discernment today to be able to think biblically, to not be led astray by falsehood and false teachers, not to be led astray by the philosophies of this world or worldliness, but that we would stand firm, steadfast in the truth, in your word, and that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth and remove falsehoods from us, sanctifying us with the word of God. Oh, that we would love your truth. Lord, you are the one who is mighty to save. May we see today that all we have is Christ. Use this sermon, Lord, in ways that I will never understand. And in my weakness in communicating this message, your strength will be displayed. Lord, draw people to you today. Remove them from the lie, that they may be of the truth, have fellowship with you, and to be full of joy, to have the fullness of joy that only you can give. Oh, we're trusting in your work today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I conclude today's sermon by reading to you 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. I believe it is appropriate. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. I am so glad that you joined us today. We are looking forward tentatively to May 17th when we can gather together again. As I said, we will also continue the streaming service or posting a video to Facebook during this time of transition. But my charge to you is this: stand firm in the truth. Go in the truth of God, and may you have fullness of joy. God bless.